ain't got a bottle of rum, so I'm good.
Tuck into it, boy. Tuck into it. Hello, welcome to The Mac Show. Yes, we are here to discuss all of the big news that's gone off in Apple. There's a few little rumours that have been popping around, so they're right interesting. It's a good job Doc's not here, because he'd just go, oh, bloody old rumours, in his inimitable Doc way. And we got a fun packed day for you. We got Mac Show at 4, we got Photo Show at 6. I've done the doc, it's all definitely happening. All the keynotes queued up, and I've also done the big show at 8 p.m. And what a week this is for BTN, because Righty Boy's back. Righty Boy's been blogging on the front end, so if you've got a couple of blogs that you want to see, he's done one on iPhone 11 and he's done some other stuff. So get on there and have a look at the blog. He's reinvigorated it, and he's back in the fold. Welcome home, Righty. We've missed you, like Billy-O.
That's awesome.
The people we haven't missed, because they've been here every blooming week, starting us off, it's Patrice. With impromptu lighting.
Yeah, Magic Man actually had a good idea. It's like, okay, that'll work.
And
just turn off the brightness.
And the same standard of internet as last week, it would seem. I have no idea what you've just said, dude.
I don't know. It should be fine. Like, it's working fine for me whenever I do anything else.
Well, you would hear what you say, because it's you saying it.
No, I mean, like, I've worked from here. Like, I've been in meetings. Like, it must be Skype and the connection to the UK or something.
Well, now I've complained about it, it's gone all right. So someone in Skype headquarters has realised. Lots of love for Righty in the chat room. When we going to see Righty on here again, says Magic Man. Don't know, but it won't be long, I don't think. Just read his blogs for now. And Crikey Trousers, we love Righty.
Yes, we do.
We do. Come home soon, Righty. And boom, next to him, it's Jeffrey. I don't know what happened there, mate. It just went pop when I was coming to you. So
it's, you know, I think it's because the entire internet was so excited.
It was.
It just overloaded everything.
Well, you're on so many podcasts that they all retweeted at the same time to say that you were on the Mac Show. So that would stand to reason.
And it brought the internet to its knees.
Now, I'm sure I'm going to get emails soon that tell me we've had enough of this, but give us the Denver weather report or the bottled weather report, rather.
It's clear and sunny today.
Damn, no snow.
But this afternoon, it's going to start getting really windy. So, you know, like winds up to 75 miles an hour.
Cool.
Yeah. So if you're planning on doing any strolling on Pearl Street Mall this afternoon or this evening, put rocks in your pockets so you don't blow away.
Now, there was something exciting last week because just at the end of the show, on the big show, you announced that there was an offer code for BTN listeners for Text Expander, was there not?
Yes. Yes.
Cool. And so if you'd like Text Expander and you'd like a personal tutor, because everyone knows Jeff, of course.
Right.
So where to go? People go to testexpander.com and download it, and then the offer code they use is...
BTN 2020.
Bravo Tango November 2020. There we go.
I was thinking of it as British Tech Network, but yeah, that works too.
Okay. But I was doing the phonetic stuff. But there you go. BTN 2020 will get you 20% off Text Expander. No small sum. And it is possibly one of the best programs that are out there for snippet recording and all that kind of stuff.
It's one of the first three apps that has to go on every new Mac I get.
Uh-huh.
And that's not just because you wrote for them.
Same.
Yeah, that was true long before I was the product evangelist.
Superb, mate. Well done. Thank you for that. As a gift from all of our people, I do thank you most sincerely for that. It's an application that I think it's essential. Snippet work is really, really cool. If you can get into it, I know Paul Wheatley used to run around on the network a lot. He always loved doing snippet work.
Yeah, I have two webinars coming up next week. On Wednesday, I'm doing an advanced Text Expander webinar. And then Thursday, I have a beginner webinar. Excuse me, both are free.
Brilliant. We're sorted. So that's me done then. I'm in, I'm buying, and I'm watching. Superb, mate. Thank you very much for that.
Awesome.
And last but by no means least, from I'm in Max, it's our mate Cal. How's it going, mate?
Not too bad. How is everyone? Hope everyone's all right.
Well, I think what everyone wants to know is, have you fixed your sign yet? you thought you got away with it?
We've done a bit of a stress test, and I'm hoping it won't fall down this week. So yeah, we'll see. Mate, I thought I got away with it.
I heard that you thought you got away with it.
Yeah, I managed to keep quiet when it hit me on the shoulder on the way down. So fingers crossed we won't have any more issues this week.
Just like to point out that the way that they have fixed signs is not indicative of the way that they fix Max.
No, we are definitely Mac repair specialists, not sign fitters. So Mac to say if your signs aren't.
Good answer, mate. Have you had a good week?
Yeah, bit of a tough week. A few kind of difficult repairs come in, a few ones that we haven't seen before for a few devices, but nothing that we haven't managed to get sorted. So I can't imagine you'll find many people that can fix iPod Nano 7th gens, the tiny weeny ones. So
We've had a few people send stuff in. We've got two iPad jobs that have gone in. We've had the Peugeot Mac Minis that you mentioned last week, and my landlord was in here today looking for a refurb iMac. So referred him on to Joe, and he's going to call him up. There we go. I don't know if he has already, but superb. If you'd like iMac to help you out, then we'll have to do a little advert later on for them. But it's dead easy. imnmax.com. And you cannot fault the repairs that they do. I know, because I have one of those repairs. Thank you.
No worries.
Right, the week in Apple, all the stuff that's gone on. I've got to start with this story because this is just horrific. There's a lawsuit against Apple and M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong, who they've been sued over Servant, because apparently it's got a very similar plot line to a movie called The Truth About Emmanuel that I've never heard. Now, when I saw The Truth About Emmanuel, I have to think it was an Emmanuel film, but then I realised it was spelt differently. So it might not be a sex film. And also, I was just thinking, why on earth would you take a court case and associate yourself with such a shit TV show? Because Servant is a bag of bollocks.
Well, I'm guessing it's an advertisement plot, like just like someone wants attention. Because I mean, if you think about it,
you think
no, it's like, I mean, if you think really think about it, like every movie is in a sense similar to like a lot of other movies. Like there are only so many stories that you can tell. So as long as you don't copy the text and like verbatim the lines, there's no protection for you. Like anybody can go, like anybody could take whatever. I don't know a good movie now out of the top of my head, but like whatever, Star Wars. Like, I mean, it's maybe not the best example, but like anybody can take the Star Wars plot line, change it a little bit. Come up with their own lines and make a movie. Like,
well,
I think that's called Seven Samurai.
I was going to say, because the Phantom Menace is, and it's not Seven Samurai, the Phantom Menace is a direct copy of the political stuff associated, and I think Lucas has come out and just blatantly said, yeah, I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's just creative, like, the creative process. Like I said, there are only so many ideas and so many stories you can tell.
Yeah, I've got. If you're all wondering whether Servant's worth watching, because you've got your free year on Apple TV, my opinion is no, it's not. Crikey Trousers just randomly typed in the chat room, "Smokey and the Bandit." I don't know what that's in reference to. Are you saying Seventh Samurai is Smokey and the Bandit? Because I don't remember a car chase in Seventh Samurai.
Or he's talking about like a good movie. I don't know.
you need to qualify that, Crikey. I know it's your first time on a live show, apart from the time that you drank a gallon of Guinness and got pissed in the studio with us. But I promised I'd never mention, but people did notice. So, no, I just thought it was interesting. It said, you know, why would you associate yourself with something that's so bad? Now, here's the interesting one. Apple has hired itself a drone lobbyist. Drone and aviation law expert as a Washington lobbyist. What the hell are Apple going to be doing with drones? And
Well, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're doing something with drones. It might be that the skill set this person has fits really well with Apple's intentions. I mean, it may be because their tie-in to drones, they're really savvy with technology, you know, as far as lobbying goes. So I'm not convinced this is about Apple getting into the drone game.
Yeah, no,
I mean, Apple is already in the drone game. Aren't they using drones for their, like, maps data? I think they are.
I wouldn't have thought so. Not in the UK.
The drone. No, I mean, definitely, I think in the US at least. I mean, it's US specific, that story. So I'm almost certain that they're using drones for their, like, maps data.
I'd say it's just a coincidence. I can't see Apple making a move into that kind of industry at all. It's not something that I could ever think they'd do. I could be wrong, obviously, but it doesn't fit into them and kind of what they do at all for me.
Maybe when you get your Apple car system, it's got a drone attached to it that flies ahead of the car, so it's got more advanced warning of pedestrians. No?
Or maybe not. Maybe.
Don't even start.
Has actually done a prototype of that.
I was going to say, don't actually start thinking that was a serious answer, because it wasn't. Sorry, go on.
But there's actually a company, a car manufacturer, that's done a prototype car where it has drones that mount on the roof. And when you start driving, the drones lift off and fly ahead of you.
During the 2000s, that era, during the DARPA challenges, there were teams that actually did that, like for mapping and whatever. They actually, for their autonomous systems, they used drones to map the landscape and everything.
Yeah, I think drone technology is getting further away from us because of the irresponsible use. I mean, we've got the test now that you've got to pass to even own one over 250 grams in the UK. And you're never going to see, I just cannot see civil aviation authorities giving out lanes for drones to fly Amazon parcels, doors and that kind of stuff. I just don't think it's a waste of time, and I think it is not going to happen.
No, I think it's going to be a bit of a gimmick, and then it'll be here today and then gone and used as something for recreation rather than anything particularly useful.
No, I disagree with that to some extent. I think for personal use, yes. I think for commercial use, there are some areas. I know that, like, any rescue teams, like all the whatever, I mean, the fire departments and whatever, like anybody who's working in that area, they're definitely, military definitely, that very interested in drone technology.
Oh, but I mean, for different scientific reasons. Research.
No. So
it's like, except like, I mean, in whatever earthquake, when an earthquake happens and they want to, like, find people in regions where, like, nobody can actually go to, and, like, there are not enough like choppers available, they will send drones. It's already happening today. I mean, the military is using a lot of drones already. So
I think it'll be used for things like that, but I can't see Amazon using it to deliver parcels to people's doors. Yeah. Long term, I just don't think that's kind of feasible for it. But
I agree.
There's already tethered drones that will go up and will hold a stable position with power directed to the ground, and they'll carry cell equipment so that you've got a replacement cell tower in the event of natural disaster and that kind of thing. Yeah, but that doesn't require it to fly around. I think having lanes, as I said, and where you've currently got designated plane fly lanes for military and for civil use, you're not going to see a fly lane for drones for people to deliver parcels. I just can't see it. The administration of that, the headache of monitoring it and patrolling it, just won't happen.
No, and streets are easier and safer. So, like, and you can do the same thing with, like, with, like, whatever delivery trucks, like electric ones.
Yeah, but I still don't see that. I still keep coming back to what I always say. I don't see free moving electric cars under license in my lifetime. I hope I live a long time as well. I'm not talking about next week.
Yeah, I think you might be wrong about that. But anyway,
oh, no, I'd love to be wrong. I'd adore being wrong, mate, because I'd love an electric car where I could get in and I didn't have to concentrate particularly hard. I mean, I drove on Tuesday for work, Wednesday for work, and I was Guildford, and then into London, then back to Guildford, then into Farnborough, and then drove home. And I had a massive day, and I was knackered at the end of it. I went to bed at 8:30, and I didn't wake up until 6 o'clock the following morning. So it was, I'd love that. I'd adore it, but I don't think it will. It doesn't change my mind. My desire doesn't prohibit my rationality. I want to say, before I do this next story, right, we predicted this. And we predicted this 8 years ago.
What?
We predicted this would happen 8 years ago. And it was actually, do you remember Carl Swagger used to come on regularly?
Mm-hmm.
And we used to, what's his name? I haven't seen him online in much lately. Jesus. I'm embarrassed now. But he came on and he said he'd seen a prototype Microsoft browser for Apple. And lo and behold, it's dropped. Microsoft Chrome-based browser for Edge is in. If you want it, you can get it. It's available for download now. And that's it. It's been on beta for a while, but now it's actually the full version. You can get it.
Yeah. I didn't even know that was happening. I mean, I knew that Edge was going to Chromium, to the Chromium engine, but I didn't know that they were going to drop that for the Mac.
Yeah, it's been dropped, and I've downloaded it, and I've had a play, and I quite like it. It's a bit like losing Chrome, as you would have presumed it probably would be, but it's not bad at all. Not bad at all. And we predicted it. We picked the story out 8 years ago that this was coming.
You know what?
All right, so now here's something funny for you. I'm dropping it into the chat room. It's the US link on Microsoft's site for the Edge browser.
All right.
Good.
I might
know what this will be perfect for?
So what's great about this is it's a 404.
No, it's not. I've just clicked the link in the chat room and it's taking me straight to the download page.
Really? Okay. Well,
and it's the en-us/edge.
Interesting. Okay, so then that's really interesting. So Comcast's DNS servers are probably messed up because I get the page you requested cannot be found error.
Unless you've still got the VPN open for the porn that you were downloading before we started.
Hold on, let me check. No, nope, must be Comcast.
You know what this browser will be perfect for? If you work in a company that is very much Windows-based and you have a Mac, and someone tells you to use Edge to like use some service, you just say, I'm already using it. It's on my Mac.
Deep Pants put, new Edge works great on the mobile too. Which nice. I didn't realize it was on the mobile, so I'll have to get that down. It was pleasant. It felt an awful lot like it felt an awful lot like using Chrome, so it's good. But it's whether things like you can run Flash on it easily or not, because I know you know Chrome's running away from Flash, isn't it? Finally, or whether it's just back to with Silverlight.
Oh, ouch.
Oh, sorry, I couldn't resist. Joe in I'm in Mac says he's downloading it as we speak and he feels dirty.
Yeah.
I feel dirty.
Yeah.
It's free of charge though. And it's not unpleasant. You know, if you want it, it's not going to be my cool thing, but it's not unpleasant. Go ahead and do it.
You know, I remember when Internet Explorer was hands down the best browser on the Mac.
Yeah, now that what was that? What OS was that running under? Was that under Leopard? No.
Well, it started in what was it? Mac OS 9 or was it like 8.5? And
really?
Then it carried over into OS 10 for several years.
Did it ever come to the Mac? I'm not too sure because I definitely don't remember ever seeing it or using it.
Internet Explorer? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was the premium browser on the Mac.
No, I meant on OS X.
I mean, I've worked on several kind of older machines that where it's the only browser on there. Early OS 10 and kind of late OS 9.
I definitely know that the version, like Internet Explorer 5, was the final version on the Mac.
Yeah, no, I knew it was on there, but I couldn't remember where it stopped. TJ Manatok was the guy who told us about this. He'd been to an NBA game, and he'd spoken to a guy from Microsoft, and he'd said he'd seen it, and it was coming, but it was about 8 years ago. So it's been in beta a while, obviously. TJ, I apologize for not remembering your name. I just had a mental blank. But TJ Manatok, he's a reporter for the Philippines and worked with Bar Swagger quite a bit. So hence why we knew him.
Yeah, I just checked. You were right, Jeff. It like with Panther, they switched to Safari.
Right.
Before that, it was actually Internet Explorer.
Cool. Microsoft Edge. What's the worst that can happen? Says Deepfan. Based on the fact it's Chrome, mate, not a lot. You're pretty safe. Now, there's a couple of conjecture pieces here because there's not a lot of real hard and fast news, as you can imagine. Apple calls, there's calls for Apple to bring an iPhone-type low-power mode to the MacBooks, and I think that's a really good one where you can start shutting off radios or it starts to pull down processor cycles and stuff to try and save on your battery power. I mean, it probably does something similar, no doubt, but...
I would say, I mean, maybe like that you have a switch like that where you can enable it. But I mean, there is already kind of something like that, because if you're on battery power, it definitely does change some settings in your system. You can even like change some things where like display brightness and like, I mean, at least for the old like spinning hard drive, it can shut down the hard drive and stuff like that. So there is kind of already something like that in macOS and has been for forever.
Yeah, what does iPhone low power mode do? I mean, there's probably quite a lot you can't actually do.
It shuts down, it puts radios into low power. It stops doing background app checks. So like your email stops checking.
Mm-hmm. Right, unless you open it.
Things like
unless you physically go into the app and refresh it. Your emails won't kind of pull down, and obviously the display will get dimmer and things like that. But yeah, it's the kind of push notifications in the background is the big one.
Yeah, so I mean, the only thing, well, there's probably something Apple could be doing here. There's probably like there's no checkbox or like button that you could hit that like takes it into low power mode, like whatever, shutting down the GPU and stuff like that. It could be doing, but it's definitely already doing some things.
According to the story, they're saying that Turbo Boost is the big thing. Shutting down Turbo Boost, that'll drop your peak consumption of CPU by 62%. That's massive.
Wow.
Yeah, but you also won't have the power.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Turbo Boost is not as important. I would say it's not as important. Because that's literally just peak power. I think it's more important that it stays, that it shuts down more processes and stays like in
the
lowest CPU clock setting as much as possible.
Yeah, but that's taking away physical battery use on the CPU, but it's also taking away temperature control that the CPU is generating, and that's the big thing, isn't it? It's cutting down the fans.
Yeah, but if you're running something that is literally taxing your CPU that much that it needs Turbo Boost, then something's wrong anyway. Like you're rendering a video or something, because Turbo Boost is literally like you're basically increasing the clock on a CPU core.
I think for kind of most things, you know. When you're in low power mode, it's probably going to be when you're out and about. So if you're on a train coming home or whatever and you want to check some emails, you're not going to be using anywhere near, you know.
Exactly.
Probably more than a quarter of the power of your CPU anyway. So, you know, and as you say, the heat produced will stop the fans from spinning up so much. And, you know, it takes a lot of power to make something move. So, you know, I think it could certainly help, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, you could shut down CPU cores even. Like, you could do stuff like that.
definitely. If you're doing something, you know, fairly kind of manual, like a Word document or a bit of email or whatever, then yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what the iPhones are doing too. Like, they have, what was it, four high-power cores and two low-power cores or something like that, if I remember correctly.
I've just got visions of some kind of Only Fools and Horses, Rodney Trotter, trying to sell a Mac at a market stall. And someone going, it's really under power. And he goes, no, it's just asleep. It's going in low power mode. It's fine. It will come back when you start doing something else.
Want to buy a watch?
X-Serve is back, boys. Don McAllister.
Kind of.
Don McAllister is rubbing his hands with glee at this. If you're listening, Don, which I know you're not because you don't listen to this rubbish, hello. We miss you terribly. Apple today released the rack mount version of Mac Pro. It suits a rack configuration and prices start at $6,499.
Mm-hmm. What's really cool, or like, kind of cool about it is it's not 100% the same as the standard Mac Pro. So they changed the back side, basically. The front still has this lattice work, those like weird holes, but the back simply has standard holes, like standard drilled holes.
Which, why wouldn't, I mean, you'd have to be, because it's in the back of a rack anyway.
Yeah, I'm guessing because that's because of like airflow or something.
The X-Serve rack machines and even the racks that were designed to hold Mac Minis, they were pretty nice. They were quite beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember from the announcement of the Mac Pro that Apple said that they designed that, like, the pattern because it would, in any condition, like, no matter how, like, where you put it and whatever it was lying on the side or whatever, the airflow would be ideal. And I think that's less important in a data center because that's very, like, the airflow there is usually very uniform. Like, there's a cool side, there's a hot side, airflow's in one direction.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Cal, I've got a question for you, actually. Because I know the Mac Pro is laid out nicely and very accessible, and the server version is going to be pretty good as well for the rack. Do you find would it be nice for you if Apple went to all form factors that were as accessible as a standard, you know, box cheese grater, or is it just a thing that you have to get used to getting over? You know, I take it off in this order and I take it apart in this order, and doesn't inhibit me.
As you say, it's just something you get used to. So, like, say if I'm working on a kind of newer iMac from kind of 2012 onwards, like, the screen's stuck on and that's just how it is. It's not, you know, a major issue for us anymore. And I know what you mean, but obviously it would make life easier if everything was a bit more uniform and things weren't kind of stuck in and stuck together. But, you know, it's just, you know, it's, you know, for a big kind of reason, it's kind of why we're here as well, because Apple products are generally harder to fix. So, that's why we can exist as a niche, because, you know, it isn't like a Mac Pro where you take the side off and you've got, you know, that access to most things you'll need. You know, if you want to do an SSD upgrade on a newer iMac, you've got to risk, you know, taking a screen off that's stuck on. So, you know, it's something that we just kind of adapt to and kind of move with. And, you know, the kind of thing with Apple, they get smaller with every increment, so you're kind of getting used to it as you go. So everything's getting thinner and smaller, and you just kind of adapt and move with it. You don't even think about it anymore. So
so come on then, boys. Cost no object. Who would love a Mac Pro rack?
I would, for the office.
I would never use it anywhere near to its potential, but it'd be great to have one.
I put my hand up and blocked out Jeff. I don't know whether he put his hand up or not. Jeff?
Totally. I have no need for it, but that doesn't mean I wouldn't love to have one, you know, with like a half-height rack off in the corner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And lots of flashy lights to go with it.
Yeah, and obviously the 1.5 terabyte of RAM and everything.
Mm-hmm. I won't be buying another Mac Pro, I think, in my working life. The one I've got is doing just brilliantly, so that's fine. Mm-hmm. And if it does crap out, I'll be seeing IMN Max anyway. But I actually think that the next powered machine that is going to be big enough for me to use, probably going to be a Mac Mini. Because the current Mac Mini, if I spec that out with the top processor, that'll outdo what I've currently got. So,
Unless Apple releases a lower spec Mac Pro for you.
Could be. Deepan said, why don't you replace all the Mac Minis with a stack of rack Mac Pros? With a big smiley on the end, it has to be said, because the cost of that would be prohibitive. But I couldn't do five separate machines with five separate audios. It's the audio that kills us, actually. It's dead easy to do a virtual machine, but trying to do the audio and the mix minus, you've got to go into a desk and out again.
So let's put it that way. If Apple gave BTN one, Ewan would take it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd even give sexual favors to various people on the management team quite happily, so it's not a problem. I can be bought.
Good to know.
No. All these people that go, no, I can't do bribery and corruption. I totally can. Apple employees have donated $100 million in the last few years to good charities. One of the guys has started up a barber shop for at-risk youths to get their hair cut free of charge. And Apple says that 21,000 employees have donated time and donated up to $42 million in causes that they care about in direct cash. I think that's a really cool story. I don't know if we're going to discuss it much, but I think it is nice that companies allow people to come up with ideas like this. You know, I love the girl that did the Emma watch that helps people with Parkinson's. I'm desperate to get my hands on one of those for my mom to see if you can help her. But, you know, those kind of projects, I think, are really, really important. Well done, Apple.
Yeah, that's very cool. Pretty cool. There was a story, I think another story similar to this, probably even next last couple of days, about the lady she's a manager at the Apple Park Visitor Center. And she offers, I think, haircuts to homeless women and so on. And I actually met her, and she was really nice. Like, I mean, we talked a little bit, and she's awesome. So I'm very happy for the staff, the employees are doing. It's not Apple corporate. I mean, Apple has that one-to-one matching program, whatever, but it's like literally employees who are giving money.
Yeah, no, it's I think it's really important that there's a social responsibility with companies. I've got to say, if I ever get to the point of, you know, with my Sentry cameras and stuff, that I get to employ people, I'd like to give people time to do their own projects and bring them into work and work on them and do something like that. And I do a lot of work for Network Rail, and Network Rail demand from all of their contractors a minimum of one day's charitable function from every person that works on the railway line.
Nice.
All of their own employees do that, and all of the contract employees are required to do it. So, and I've done more than my fair share of that in the last few years. So
that's pretty cool.
And they're cool days as well.
Stuff like that can never be a bad thing, can it, for any company or any kind of person to do? So, fair play to all those people that have gone and done it.
No, next story is not a pleasant one, but I think it's important that we talk about it, because I think there's a bit here that I think some of the papers and that are missing on it. FBI have requested that the Florida mass shooter iPhone is unlocked by Apple. Trump's got in and called Apple a bunch of names for not helping to do it. There's a story that the FBI have successfully unlocked the iPhone 11 anyway. Quite how, no one knows, although they are showing a picture of the grey key box, but I don't know if that was in. And in all of the stuff that they're actually saying about Apple, I'm not sure Apple have even got the capability of opening it. That's one of the things. No, that's the thing. The whole thing was, no, we can't do it. You know, you're asking us to do it. Mm-hmm. We can't do it. We physically don't have a way to do this. We can't override the code or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I mean, the weird thing is that the FBI has, I mean, one, they have in a parallel case, they actually have unlocked phones and data that they unlocked. They actually purchased those gray key devices, I think, last year. So they definitely, at least from the outside, sounds like they actually have the capability and just using this to push Apple to build a backdoor.
Yeah, right. Okay. A bit of bad PR. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's my take too.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, as I said, it's from the outside. Like, we don't know exactly what's going on. Maybe this phone is so new that it's not possible or whatever. Definitely older phones are broken. Like, if you have an older phone with maybe even an older OS, that is easily breakable. There's a hardware issue. I can't remember what it's called. Maybe Callum, you can help me. There was this hardware issue in the chip firmware, I think.
On certain older iPhones running older iOSs, I'm not sure about any hardware fault, but I know there were definitely kind of ways using software you could get around it, but I haven't heard of any kind of hardware faults that means you can get in. But it's one of the things that we get asked about the most, kind of locked out iPhones. Is there nothing you can do, or it's just one of those things. The way that they're built means that you cannot get into them, even if you want to, even if you know, with all the goodwill in the world, there is no way coming from someone like ourselves, and as you say, I'd imagine Apple can't even get into devices.
I mean, there are ways to get into it. I mean, that's why Reiki and like those types of devices and services exist. There is a way to get into it. It's just a matter of, it depends on how new and how up to date the phone is. Like, there are security vulnerabilities that allow you to access it, and I'm pretty sure there are people at Apple that could probably do it, but like, also they don't want to.
Yeah, I don't. Well, yeah, no, Apple don't want to do it, but you're saying that you think there's people in there that if they were tasked by someone.
I mean, it's very simple. If the FBI or the NSA or someone else, CIA, if they can break into phones, or like companies that like Reiki that use certain security flaws in existing phones to get into them, then I'm pretty sure if someone at Apple tried really hard and had enough time, they could probably do the same thing. I mean, there are very smart people working at Apple. The question is why? Like, there are already companies that already offer the service, that have already done the job. They're not too expensive, given that the FBI already bought like those services and devices. So I'm not sure what the reason for it would be.
I just got a thing. Just imagine like a Saturday Night Live sketch where the FBI have brought in Tim. And they're going to try and intimidate him like the mafia, and say, we got something on you, and you're either going to help us or we're going to tell the world. And they go, what you got on me? You go, we're going to tell everyone you're gay. It seems it's at that kind of level of intelligence, isn't it, from the security services? Mm.
I mean, this is definitely a PR thing, like, no doubt about it.
Yeah, no, I think... If they've got this Grey Key thing, and the Grey Key people are keeping ahead of Apple by one step, and they are getting it open, then fine. As long as you've got a warrant from a judge that says you can brute force the phone, and that's the way it should be. You know, if they have got that ability and they do keep it under strict control and it is under warrant from judiciary, I don't have much of a problem with it. But I've got a problem with brute forcing people into complying when there's a clear manufactured intent not to.
Yeah, and Apple has said, I mean, they're helping as much as they can. I'm pretty sure they provided all iCloud data that they have. Anything that is not encrypted or that they have access to, I'm pretty sure they've already handed over.
Right, okay. That's important.
So they always do that. Like, I mean, they're legally required to do it, and two, they always do that. And they're very open about it. They say, we do what we're required to do and what we can do.
I don't want to take this political, but did you see the Trump speech where he was going to give everyone a dishwasher?
Seriously?
You've got to find that. Trump stands up and he says he's going to give everyone a dishwasher. It might be a deep fake. It might be a complete,
there's no way to tell if it's real or deep fake, because the deep fakes are equally as plausible.
Yes. And you never know, one of the deepfakes might actually turn out to be true because he says it later or something.
Yeah, you might find that they'll do a thing with a Russian prostitute peeing on him.
Yeah, I mean,
And then the FBI are going to call him in and say, we got something on you, Mr. Trump, so now you work for us. And he's going, what you got on me? We got a video of a Russian prostitute peeing. Ah, pff, I've well seen that.
Exactly.
iPhone 12 lineup may come with 6 gig of RAM. Now that's pretty huge for a phone, isn't it? That's not bad.
Nah, not really.
5.4, 6.7 inch and 6.1 inch phone models available in 2020. And allegedly 2021, Lightning's gone. Now it doesn't say whether Lightning's gone and it's replaced with USB-C, which would be a cool thing. Or whether it's just, sorry, you're going to go wireless, otherwise you're in deep put.
I can't imagine Apple going just wireless.
Well,
I can,
but I don't think they will.
No, but does that not give you a tech issue then, though? When you take your phone in to a Genius Bar appointment, one of the things they do is plug in if it's bricked, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, there are solutions for that. I mean, you could honestly have like a kind of a magnetic or like short range wireless connection that does that. Like, it's doable. I mean, they don't do it for some reason with the Apple Watch, but I know when they send them in that they have, like, even if they completely break that, they have ways to access it. I think it's doable. It's just a matter
of connector things under the watch band.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no.
I mean, going completely portless makes our job and what we do here very, very difficult. Because when you get a dead iPhone, the first thing we do is plug it in and see if it's taking any kind of any charge or any current. So it's makes our life interesting, to say the least.
Well,
but you can guarantee. I mean, since Apple has to repair them too, they will have a solution for that, and they will also. I'm pretty sure they will have the solution for all like third party, like authorized like service providers.
Joe, sure. Okay. Another problem is how to use external storage, because that's the thing we can do now. If you take that port off.
That's right.
Completely.
Ferengi gave us the 1990s. Ferengi gave us the 1990s. That's right.
Yeah, I think that the question there is more like, it's not just storage. It's like any kind of external device, whether it's like a microphone, like camera, like the camera connection kit, HDMI out, like all of that, like all those external connections, how they would do it.
Good point.
I think it's too early for that. Like, I think at some point Apple will do it, but I'm more thinking they might simply push towards USB-C because the European Union is pushing all manufacturers to adopt one standard, and I think that will be USB-C.
Welcome to Darren Griffin in the chat room. I haven't seen you for ages, mate. Hello. And Joe's pointing out, no one takes their phone to the Genius Bar appointment, Ewan. They come to IMN Max, for God's sake.
That's right. Okay. Yeah.
Good point.
I talk about Apple, and now I have to go, of course, other repair businesses are available.
No, they're not.
I don't know how I feel about that. I think some really good points you've just raised there, but you know, the stories are all talking about Lightning going. So I think it could be USB-C. I'd rather it was USB-C, I have to say, because then the integration with sharing power and sharing data and external drives just goes through the roof. I've always said I prefer USB-C.
I can definitely see USB-C being the kind of next big thing and the next step for Apple, because as Patrice said, the EU are trying to move everyone towards a uniform way of charging. So I can definitely see that being the next thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm like, I love USB-C. Like, all my devices that have it, it's just good.
Yeah, I don't have it on that much. I've got it on the GoPro cameras and that kind of stuff, but I do think it's just such a better connection as well.
Yeah.
But I think the other thing as well that you're never going to get away from is that we've always got this problem of all the connectors that we currently have are about parting sprung contacts. Mm-hmm. So you either part them with Lightning like that and they go out, or you put a USB-C on and it parts the thing inside the USB-C. And that's what we've got to get away from in terms of connection, because that's where, you know, those that springiness at some point fails and the cable then stops working. And it's interesting there, I think, with the USB-C, though, is that if the Lightning connector does go, then the ability to have a connection that's permanent and therefore the device doesn't fail, it's the cable that fails, and that's the key part.
This is for me what MagSafe was so good on, kind of MacBooks from 2015 going back, because you know, as you say, the cable would break and the port would tend to kind of be absolutely fine for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe moving towards something like that in the future. I don't know, but perhaps.
Yeah. And that's kind of the news, really. I'm done.
Yeah. Nothing else is going on anyway.
No, there was loads of rumours about stuff for iPhones, but it's just like, we're not a rumour show. We could, we are when we want to be, and there's no real news at all. But but today we're not. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by, first of all, TSO Host. They have been superb. We've got a blog out there at the moment. Where I explain how BTN works and what it is and how you can get involved and that kind of stuff. If you've got a show and you want to bring it to us, then go for it. Make a show, send it over, we'll review it, and we'll stick it on the channels. We'll give you your own channel and give you a login so you can upload it. TSO Host are the people that allow that, because they give us fantastic servers that are really fast, really huge, and we've got every show we've ever produced right back to 2008. So everything that's 12 years nearly now of podcasting is available on the TSO Host servers. If you buy stuff from them, you can get your domains transferred over. You can do all your hosting with them, and you've got to use the offer code BTN20, and that gets you 20% off all your hosting services. It is unbelievable, and they are such a good value for money. Batwinch wanted to move all her stuff over. She sent them a text saying, can you help me, because I don't know how to do it. They walked her through the whole process. Absolutely brilliant service. And a lot of backup service stuff that we've talked to people, they've actually said how good they are. So thanks to them. And please, as always, make sure you get yourself out on the socials and say thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. And also say thanks to at iMendMax, because without their support, we'd be struggling and all. iMendMax do all repairs to all Apple devices. Legacy stuff as well. So if Apple have turned you away, go to iMendMax. Not that you should have had an Apple appointment in the first place, obviously, according to Joe. And then get your stuff redone. Data recovery as well. That's just flashed up on the screen. That reminded me. And refurbished machines. And my landlord this week has said, oh, I want a machine for my business partner. Now, his business partner's a bit of a Luddite. I would have said that he'd be better off. I mean, Ricky's got an iPhone. But he'd be better off looking for an application that runs on the iPhone and getting to have a go at using that first. But he's adamant he wants to get him a Mac to run in the office. But he doesn't want to spend a fortune because Ricky's a bit of a Luddite. So I said, why don't you go to iMendMax, get a refurbished machine, a couple of hundred quid, it'll get you a decent level machine. Ricky's not going to be pushing the envelope with it. He's going to be answering emails and eventually even perhaps and taking it a bit further than that. So Glenn's going to give iMendMax a call. Any special offers this week, Alan?
So this week we actually have a nice iMac, which we've got in. So a 21.5-inch, we're selling it for £600. It would be about £1,400 in the Apple Store if you went and bought it today. So as you say, there is massive savings to be had, and everything comes warranted and doubly, triply checked by me. So, you'll get absolute peace of mind with everything you buy, and quality as well.
And just if you want something that's going to be for the kids to do homework and that kind of stuff, you've got old MacBook Pros with new SSDs in, 300 mm-hmm. quid, that kind of stuff, haven't you? Old Mac Minis with new SSDs in.
We've actually got four nice MacBook Pros in this sort of week. So we've all from around kind of 2012. So when they moved from the kind of pre-Retina to kind of the Retina era, and all of them come with nice SSDs as standard, and you're not going to pay any more than £750 for the very, very top spec one. So, yeah. If you're going into the Apple Store, you spend it at least a grand. So there's definitely savings to be made.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much for your support. And as I say, get out on the Twitters and the socials and say thanks to iMendMax for helping too. Time for the cool thing then. Start us off.
Yeah, my cool thing is actually something that we mentioned earlier in the show. I actually had it on my list. It's text expander. Sorry.
Have you two? Why have you colluding.
No, like I had it on my list for
I'll
a long
recommend
time.
You
I
if
use
you
rec- it really every day. Like I have certain snippets, like for example, I have a date snippet that I use for all my files. Like every file has an ISO date stamp at the beginning. ISO date stamp. I just really like using it. Like I have a lot of stuff that I either mistype all the time or that I use all the time, like code snippets or whatever. I have a text expander and I really, really enjoy it. So I've actually recommended it to my wife as well, because she texts a lot of people more or less the same thing. It's literally like put the name in and text the same thing because she works DoorDash. So I've recommended it to her as well.
I was going to take the mickey there and say that her actual snippet is, have you seen Patrice? Because she hasn't seen you for so long.
But oh, maybe.
I thought that was being mean. Sorry,
mate. Ask her about that. No. That's like, as I said, like I've literally recommended it to her because she texts the customers every time, and like all she does is put the name in, put the like time in, how long it's going to take her, and send the text. And you can do that with Text Expander.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. Now, Jeffrey, if you pick his cooking page, I'm going to know there's something up.
All right, well then I should change my pick real quick. My pick is an iPhone app that I just love called Dark Sky. I think this is the best weather app around because it does local weather. I think they call it hyper local, meaning it'll tell you what the weather is on the block you're standing on,
yeah,
as opposed to here's the weather for your city. And excuse me. So you get more accurate temperature and it'll give you alerts saying it's going to start snowing in 15 minutes. And you look at your watch 15 minutes later and it starts snowing.
No, that's exactly my point. So it's like you I'm with people and I stand there and they say, like rugby, for example, before we start the match, and they're like, oh, it's raining at the moment. I'm like, yeah, but Dark Sky says it's going to stop in 15 minutes. And it's literally like some bugger turned a tap off.
Yeah.
And it's 15 minutes on the dot, bang, it stops. Is that? I mean, I know it's not that accurate, but it does do
it's pretty close.
Pretty damn well, yeah.
Yeah. And the Apple Watch integration is really nice. So, I get some sort of weather change alert, like it's going to start raining or snowing soon. I get the notice on my watch and it gives me all the details, just super fast, super easy. And with the complication, I can get a current weather report and forecast right on my watch.
Excellent, mate. It's a good pick. I totally would recommend that. I've got Dark Sky on my phone, and I definitely appreciate it. Callum's cool thing's been picked for him by Joe.
Unfortunately, my chat's not working, so I did very kindly ask him to put it in for me.
Oh, all right. I thought it was a bit of peer pressure here.
Yeah. It is actually one we've discovered in the office this week. So it's the Apple Archive, and basically all it is, it's very simple. An awful lot, if not all, of the kind of Apple advertising going right back to let's see, the earliest one I can find quickly, 1977. It's got stuff from. So it's got the ad for the Apple II on it. It's just a really neat bit of Apple history for anyone who loves Apple out there. And it's, you know, especially for someone like me who's a bit younger, you can go back and see where it all began and, kind of look at all the advertising through the ages and how it's changed and things like that. So, a really, really neat thing that that we found and been kind of looking through this week.
I forget, because this is the thing, is everyone in my peer group, I've never lived in a planet that doesn't have an Apple on it, whereas as I forget that you guys were born probably sometimes after the iPhone was invented. You know, my daughter was born 2 years after the iPhone came out, and it's just, it blows my mind, that does. So yeah, yeah, I think that's really cool for people that are into the Apple ethos, but yeah. Had the history.
Yeah, we were saying after the show last week, I was 7 when the first iPhone came out, so there's an awful lot of stuff, even stuff that I work on day to day, that I wasn't around when it came out, so it's kind of nice to see how it was kind of greeted and, you know, what was the next big step at every stage. So, just something really neat that we found.
Well, now you guys are coming over, aren't you? So we're going to have Mo, who's the owner, Joe and Callum are going to come over in a couple of weeks, and they're going to come in the studio with us. We're going to do the Mac show. We're going to have a curry. We're going to do the photo show. And we're going to do the big show. All the guys are over. And a bit of wine is going to be drunk, it has to be said, before they'll toddle off home on the train. But one of the things I'll get out is I'll get my Mac SE prototype out. And that machine is 24 years old now. No, 34 years old. So that Mac is older probably than Joe. So
I think either a year older or the same age.
Yeah. When I took it into the Apple store to have a laugh with the geniuses at Solihull, one of the guys that was cleaning it said he was born 9 years after the Mac was made.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was born about
as old as me.
That was cool. And you can still find that story online if you put in 30-year-old Mac fixed by Apple. There we go. My cool thing is Sam Card. Now, Sam Card is not a horrific price, but it's a business card scanner. So basically, I go to a lot of network meetings and that kind of stuff, and people give me their card. And admittedly, some of those end up in the round filing cabinet on the floor because I'm just being polite. Choose to talk to them ever again. But a lot of them, where I do find the person quite interesting, I think they've got an interesting service, all I do is pull out my iPhone, slide open Sam Card. It's got a built-in camera thing, so it integrates with the camera. Take a picture of it, and it does an OCR on the card. And if you've got a fairly straightforward card like mine that's just got the classic, you know, logo, address, that kind of stuff, Sam Card is absolutely spot on. It's very rare that it gets it in the wrong fields. But if you've got one that's a bit more way out, you might have to type it in manually, or few of the details might need to be typed in manually. But it's very, very easy to do. And then that's it. It's in the Sam Card application. But here's the best bit. It actually updates all your contacts as well. So if you're associated with Gmail, it does your Gmail addresses, and it does your iCloud as well, if that's what you want. And it's £17 a year to use. So it's not a horrific cost. And if you're picking up loads of business cards from people, it's definitely well worth it. So give that a go. I'll stick that in the chat room. Someone this week said, oh, what's the thing that Callum mentioned on last week's show? Don't be a lazy bastard and keep sending us texts for it. Just go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, go to the 17th of January and scroll through the chat. Don't click anything that Muller's put in and you'll be fine. You'll have all of the, he's giving me two fingers now, and you'll have all of the stuff that we recommend. Everything, the cool thingies are all in there. And if you go on the big show, all the stories are in there and that kind of stuff, and you'll love it. So well done. Now then, a lot of people always switch off by this point. Bob Beach, you all bugger off before the end of the show. You shouldn't have, because we've got a giveaway this for the next 4 to 6 weeks. So on the 1st of March, we'll draw out a winner. But we have two Spider screen calibrators to give away. So they are calibrators that you put for photography, and you put them on the computer, and it tells you what the quality of the screen is in terms of correct colours and that kind of stuff. And then it writes a profile that adjusts the screen so that it is perfect. And I've got to say, they're the best screen calibrators I've ever used. I've written a blog on them and a review on them if you go on to British Tech. Spider 8s, they are worth £150. So it's not a small price. All you've got to do is go to the photo show on our YouTube channel and give us a like and subscribe and leave a comment. If you leave a comment, then we'll be in touch with you and tell you to send us an email, and we'll send you a Spider-Fry. We've got two to give away. So get liking, subscribing, and commenting on the photo show on our YouTube channel. Right. Where can we get a hold of you? Address.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that, like, pro tip for business cards, put your V-card on it as a QR code. There's a way to do that. It, like, makes life for everybody else so much easier. Yeah. Anyway, you can find me every week here on the Mac Show and the Big Show and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
And if you found Patrice's furniture, please give it back.
Yes, please. Send it to me.
Mostly because he's an easy target at the moment for piss taking.
I'm fine with that. I'm good.
Bob has just pointed out that he is here. I'm sorry, mate.
Wow.
And Muller's pointed out, I probably spend too long in the bathroom. Where would you be, Jeffrey?
I am over at textexpander.com. I am Jay Gamet on Twitter and Instagram. And Google me because I'm on the podcasts.
Every podcast. Just if he's not on the podcast, it's not worth listening to. Don't forget as well, if you've got Text Expander, then the BTN2020 is your offer code to get 20% off it. There we go.
Yes.
And watch one of Jeffrey's free webinars as well as. Callum, where can we get you?
I'm at Maxis on all the socials, so Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. If you want to email us with any questions, any queries, you can get us at info@imnmax.com. I'm on Twitter as well. If you search for Callum O'Hara, I'm following everyone.
That's a really good point, isn't it? Because there's a lot of stuff that you could probably help with where it might be zero cost to the person if they just listen to you talk them through it.
Absolutely, yeah. And we're always willing to give kind of free advice to people.
Yeah, good on you for offering that, mate. You
know, yeah, any kind of guidance. And I'd like to give a special thanks as well this week to the sign for staying up. Thank you.
It's because it's been fixed professionally now, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I put it on this week. Joe did it last week.
Oh, Joe, did you hear that, mate? Oh, it's just thrown you under the bus. Wow.
Oh,
mate, I don't want to be you in the next 5 minutes. There's going to be a Benny Hill chase around the IMN Max offices in a minute. my name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow me on @12spacemedia as well on Instagram and on the Twitters. And you can also watch a photo show on the 12 Space Media YouTube channel as well as. So that'd be cool. You can also then follow the network @BritishTech. Righty Boy has got blogs galore for the next few weeks coming out. So make sure you follow that and subscribe, because there'll be a blog going up most days. And Righty, hopefully we'll be coming back on the show, on the big show, at some point in the near future as well. So that'll be nice too. Welcome home, Righty. Have a great weekend. Photo show at 6 p.m. in a couple of minutes, and then we're off to go. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.